Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to another episode of the Ruler Tech Podcast. I am your host, Dan Cavallari, all the way over here in Colorado in the United States. And joining me today for a chat, we hear a lot about, in the bicycling world, a need and a desire to be environmentally friendly and eco-friendly. And by nature, bicycles in general, we tend to think of them as an eco-friendly product, an eco-friendly sport. It's a great way to get around, get out of the car. And while those things are true, manufacturing in general can be a very difficult thing to make eco-friendly and environmentally friendly. So I wanted to talk to a couple of folks who started their business in the cycling world with an eye on environmental friendliness. And I wanted to find out what they think that means, what they're doing to cut down on the environmental impact of their manufacturing processes. So my first guest today, actually is two guests. I'm speaking with Peter Velitz and Martin Velitz, who are the co-founders of Isidore Clothing. They're joining me all the way from Slovakia. Gentlemen, how are you?
Hi, Dan. Very good. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Hi, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I know it's hard to coordinate transatlantic calls like this, but I wanted to speak with you guys because you baked into your business model environmental processes. And to be clear, both of you spent time as pros, riding various gear, various clothing, and then after your pro careers were over, which, you know, very successful careers, I should add, you jumped into this venture. Tell me about why you chose clothing, first of all, and what you are doing to integrate environmentally friendly practices into your business.
Yeah, well, we always had like kind of a entrepreneurial spirit in me and Peter. We come from a family that owned a bike shop, and we always knew that we want to do something on our own. And ideally, we wanted to do it while we're still riding our bikes, professionally. And that's something that we succeeded. And it was really, really good to have this kind of a transition into business then, when already things were set up and were actually up and running for a couple of years. And for the second part of the question, the story is very easy, because we actually from the very beginning, we didn't even know that all these buzzwords, I would call them, sustainability and eco-friendliness, and so it was something that we felt like we wanted to do, and this is the way we wanted to do it from the very beginning. That would be the right approach to do to create a new brand or create a new business. And so it was just a simple choices we made from the beginning, that we wanted to produce as locally as possible. We didn't want to pack our products into plastic. You know, we were maybe one of the really just couple of brands that at that time were packing their products into recycled paper or a couple of years after that into compostable, bags. So, and then once we set the vision that we're gonna do, things with the lowest impact possible, then it was very easy to pick up on that and actually continue, with these efforts as the desire, as you said at the very beginning, for more eco-friendly solutions in also in the bike clothing industry, you know, were coming in. And we were already, it's already 4 years ago when we were the first brand that introduced the whole kit from recycled materials, and it was only because we started so early with our suppliers. It took us 1 year to really, you know, find the right fabrics, to develop with them the right fabrics, and to really bring this these products to the market that at the time I would say they were really ahead of the time.
Mm-hmm. And so, just to be clear, for those of you listening, if you didn't catch it, Martin just mentioned that some of the clothing, if I don't know if it's all, you can clarify, Martin, but some of the clothing Isidore makes is actually made from recycled materials and then packed into biodegradable packaging. So is it all of your clothing or just some of the clothing that's recycled materials?
Yeah, well, that was 4 years ago. Then we actually introduced a whole line. It was a jersey and a bib shorts, and then a long sleeve jersey and a thermal bib shorts, which are made from recycled materials, right? And but it was already 4 years ago when we started, three years ago when it came to the market, and but for even for me it's quite. Interesting, or it's quite funny how it all shifted. We call it alternative line because it was some, you know, it was alternative to your standard, bib shorts or clothing that is made from synthetic materials. But it shifts so quickly, you know. For the last 2 years, every time we develop something new, we start with looking for, you know, recycled materials. And only when there is no choice, then in terms of, you know, we don't that particular material, we don't get it in 100% recycled, or, you know, it's just partly recycled, then we only take the virgin synthetic, you know, materials. So what I'm trying to say that actually this alternative line, I believe over the years, as the opportunities to choose for more environmentally friendly materials, it grows, this alternative line of ours will become obsolete, you know, at the end of the day, because, you know, the goal is to really to make all of the clothing from a recycled material. So, and yes, now it's more and more products that we can bring with the recycled materials, and also the products which are carryovers, we have these opportunities to change whether it's one or two materials into recycled. We do it, you know, over the time.
When that product reaches the end of its useful life, you know, when a customer has used it and it's basically at the end of what is considered a usable time, what is the end of that product's life look like? Can they send that back to you for further recycling, or do you give them some sort of guidance when they purchase the product and say, okay, when this jersey no longer works for you, here's what you can do with it?
Yeah, I mean, like I don't know how in the US, but here in Europe, like there is more and more. I mean, yes, to recycle textiles, it's very complicated. We looked into it, and we are putting together a project where people can really do this to send us back their old kit, and we can together with a specialized partner we can recycle. But it's a project that we actually do for the last 6 months. But we were still not able to, you know, 100% say that yes, we can 100% recycle these garments, because it blends of different fibers, and that's something that you know, it still needs some time to really that this kind of technologies, you know, will be there. But yes, by us we have containers where you can, you know, throw out the textiles, and then they are recycled the best possible way, you know, here. And then it's also just to make a conscious purchase is to you know, to really buy less, and we have we have our repair program where we offer our customers, you know, free repairs. So yeah, these are all small initiatives that we can do, you know, until we can really, you know, say that yes, all of the garments are recyclable.
I want to talk about your packaging in just a moment, but before we do, I want to get a sense, because like I said, I am in the US and you're in Europe, and specifically in Slovakia. And so, and that's where your company is based. And so I'm curious, when you started all this, were there guidelines within your country, within your city, and within Europe that sort of gave you a blueprint for what it meant to manufacture in a sustainable way? Or did you have to really research that and seek that thing, those practices out?
I mean, there weren't really guidelines, but as we were trying to look for our partners, manufacturing partners, but that also means, you know, we take care also of our supply chains of materials, so that we are also sourcing the materials. So the most natural way, what we felt like to be the most sustainable at that time, is to really consciously choose our partners, and that means within Europe, that that they come with all necessary certification, that they do the Ecotex and the Blue Sign certification. So that's the highest standards of ecological, you know, textile production. So that was the natural way to start, you know, as locally as possible, because, you know, the CO2, it started to be for the last couple of years also a big issue and a big big topic, and I believe also this is something we also were not you know, thinking at that time too much, but, you know, now it's really a thing when we produce within Europe, then of course the CO2 footprint is way lower than, you know, if we would produce, you know, further away. So there wasn't really a blueprint or anything. We just did things that, you know, we felt are the most, you know, that will leave the least impact, you know, if we have to produce something.
And just Martin just mentioned there, for those of you listening, if you want to research what he's talking about here, it's on their website, isidore.com, but you can also Google Blue Sign, which is one word. It's spelled exactly how it sounds, Blue Sign. And then Ecotex, I knew I was going to mess that up. Sorry. It's Oeko-TEX. And those are sort of the guiding principles for the eco-friendly practices that you're employing, and sort of a good way to track where your materials came from, whether the places you're sourcing materials from have humane standards for their workers and things like that. So for those of you listening, those are two great things to Google right now to see what Isidore is doing to sort of track their sustainability. Packaging is such a big part of the environmental impact for any company, let alone cycling. You use compostable packaging. Can you tell me about that? What is it exactly? I know there's like a potato-based one, a starch-based one. Is that what you're using? Did you research different kinds? Tell me a little bit about the packaging and how you chose
it. When we used to be professional riders, we got all these like tons and tons of garments, you know, of clothes every year. Once you unpack it, you are left with a, you know, pile of plastic bags, and we say, okay, this is not how, you know, we want to pack, or this is not the experience we want our customers to have. So that's why we started with the recycled paper packaging, and then came over to the compostable packaging. And to answer your question about you know, what can you do? Yes, you put it into, like, by us it's quite common now that you either have these dust bins which are only for compostable, you know, let's say it's just the vegetables, or, you know, and this kind of waste, and or you have at your house this small composter, and really we tried ourselves to put this, you know, packaging, or to put these bags into the composter, and really in like a 4 to 6 weeks it's basically gone.
Wow, that's really neat. So before we wrap up here, I'm curious, Martin, about the costs associated with some of these decisions you've made. I mean, does it cost more to get the compostable packaging? Does it cost more to get the recycled materials? Or was there a cost savings?
No, I mean, like from the beginning, like it takes toll on the research. It takes toll on the, you know, the energy and time that we have to invest in looking for all these opportunities. Then of course also the cost of the materials are higher, but not that much higher actually than the virgin synthetics. It's somewhere in between 10 to 20% higher costs for the recycled version of the same fabric. But yeah, it's at the end of the day, it shouldn't be always like about the cost, what we do. And I think the real value, I think the customers we try to approach, I think they will find the value in this, you know, in the different way that we really putting our effort to do things this way. And yes, it is at the end of the day, it is a little bit more expensive, but I think it's the fair price to pay for if we can do something that will lower impact.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. And when we come back, we're going to speak with Adam Miller, who is the founder of Revel Bikes and Y-Cycles. And Revel here in the United States, they are a smaller company here based here in Colorado, and they do some pretty neat stuff with the end-of-life part of their carbon. So we'll hear from Adam Miller just after the break, and we will catch you in just a moment.
Why, hello there. Podcast interruption alert, but I will only take a few short moments to say that if you're enjoying this podcast, you will love the regular magazine. So if you're not a reader already, then you can subscribe at ruler.cc for as little as £6 per month. If you don't speak Northern Irish, that's 6 times 100 pennies. And for the price of a few coffees, you get regular columns from the wonderful Ned Bolting, myself, Orla Shinoway, and some of the very finest independent cycling journalism there is, all wrapped up in a wondrously beautiful publication. Go to ruler.cc. I'll leave you to it.
So my name is Oren Peleg, and I'm an investor in Lekka. Three things that really caught my eye. The first one is they're looking to change the insurance industry, which is a very large industry and I think needs change. The second thing is I'm deeply passionate about getting people on two wheels. We need to address our congestion and pollution crisis, and I believe that two wheels have a massive role to play in that. And the third thing is, I can see a growing trend around companies building on the strong communities that they have, and I think Lekka's business model in the way they tap into the community of cyclists is something that's very much on trend at the moment.
Welcome back to the Ruler Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Cavallari. And now that we've heard from a clothing company in the bike world, I thought it'd be interesting to talk to somebody on the hard goods side of the bike world and what they're doing to increase sustainability and eco-friendliness. And so here in Colorado, where I live, there's actually a really cool company, and it's the company that makes the mountain bike I ride, and I love it. I'm actually staring at it longingly right now. And so on the line right now, I have Adam Miller, the founder of Revel Bikes and Y Cycles. And Revel Bikes recently started, within the last, year and a half, I would say, started making their own wheels, Revel branded wheels. And they're really interesting because before launching these wheels, Revel thought about the whole life cycle of the product. And that went back to basically considering the materials that were used to create the wheels. So Adam, how are you, first of all?
I'm great, Dan. It's fantastic to be here. I am down in Mexico for a couple of days, so life's good. I can't complain. It's been pretty hectic back at the home base. We have actually a couple new bikes we're coming out with very soon here. So I got some pretty sweet new stuff we're working on, which is always the fun part. Can't complain.
Well, congratulations on the new bikes. I can't wait to see them. And you know, I've known you for several years now, and you're like a serial entrepreneur, we should call you. You've always got something cooking.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah. But you know, when you launched Revel Wheels, the whole story with Revel Wheels was, oh boy, another carbon wheel. Do we really need it? But yours is different. It's made from something called fusion fiber. Can you tell me a little bit about fusion fiber and how you found it and what it is exactly and how it relates to your wheels?
Absolutely. So fusion fiber is a type of composite material, but it's not traditional carbon fiber like we all know it, like what's made, you know, what all carbon bikes are made out of, what our carbon bikes are made out of, the one you have hanging on your wall there, or what other carbon wheels are made out of. That type of carbon is called thermoset. Fusion fiber is really a type of a thermoplastic material And I feel extremely lucky. I mean, I was a total bike nerd as a kid, working bike shops, you know, just thought bikes were the coolest thing ever. It was the one sport I was kind of good at. Everything else, you know, wasn't too proud of my athletic abilities. Biking just kind of clicked for me as a kid.
Sure.
So started a few businesses, and I just feel like I, you know, have gotten very lucky to be able to kind of live my bike nerd kid dream. And the Fusion Fiber wheels were like the next big step in that. So I launched Y-Cycles in 2016, after I started and sold my first company, Borealis. And then I launched Rebel Bikes at the same time in 2016. And it took about 4 years to develop all the Rebel Bikes products. We launched the bike line in March of 2019. So just a few years ago. And now I think we're up to like 24 people in our facility in Carbondale. And it's just been going great. I've been lucky enough to have some really neat mentors in the bike world. And one of them, who I actually just got off the phone with earlier today, is Joe Stanich. So he was one of the main executives at NV Composites, and he was there for quite some time. Before that, he worked at RockShox. He was actually a World Cup downhill racer for a few different companies in the 90s. Just fantastic guy. So I'd been talking with him quite a bit as I was working on developing the Rebel products through 2016 and 17 and 18. And we'd sit on his porch like once a week and just have chats about business, bikes, and making things. And he kind of he was really helpful, and, you know, helped give me a lot of, you know, neat advice about doing this stuff. And one day he said, "Hey, you know, I'm working on this thing. We're working on developing this new material and process and method of making wheels. You know, do you want to partner? Not even wheels, just method of making stuff out of composite material." He said, "Do you want to partner up and be the first brand to, you know, to launch a product with us?" And I said, "You know, hell yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, pretty neat opportunity." And so we started talking about it, and basically it's a thermoplastic material, which a lot of companies are starting to experiment with. Boeing and Airbus are using a similar type of thermoplastic for different products in aerospace. Some helicopter companies are using it too. A thermoplastic compared to traditional thermoset carbon is significantly more impact resistant by like, you know, several 100%. It's similar weight, but it's a stronger product. So you can build a lighter weight product with the same, you know, for the same strength characteristics. And there's some really neat ride qualities when it comes to wheels. So Joe and I were talking, we said, okay, let's make some wheels. That's kind of the most difficult product to make. But it also has some really good benefits. The thermoplastic material has a nice quiet, damped feeling ride. And you can really notice that in wheels. I'm a big fan of high-end wheels, and I'm pretty sensitive to good and bad things about them, right. Which is unfortunate because that means I spent a lot of money on wheels.
Ruins everything. Ruins your wallet.
it totally does. I mean, I wish I just liked, you know, basic aluminum wheels, but probably, oh well, it's all part of the fun.
Yeah. So the fusion fiber material is it relates to carbon, but it is not necessarily the carbon that we've seen throughout, you know, the history of carbon in the bike world.
Yeah, it is. So the raw fibers are the same. You know, a lot of it's Toray or Mitsubishi or other brands of, you know, T700 or T800 raw fibers. It's the bonding agent and the curing agent that's different in fusion fiber compared to traditional carbon fiber. So traditional carbon fiber has epoxy. So it's, you know, just think of the same stuff you go buy at the store, you mix up, you know, the two chemicals and you let it sit for a certain amount of time and it hardens and it turns into a glue. That's the curing agent for thermoset carbon. For fusion fiber, it's, we use a nylon material. It's plastic bags. It's recyclable. There's several benefits, but a very big one is the ride qualities. If you think of epoxy, you know, if epoxy dries on your workbench, you can kind of chip it, you can break it, you can crack it. It's very brittle. And you feel that with certain carbon wheels. When you hit a sharp rock or, you know, go up a jump, you can kind of, and if you hit the rim, you can kind of hear a ping, a brittle sound. Fusion fiber is a little bit more of a thump. It's a quiet, damped. If you think of a piece of plastic, it's plastic is flexible. So on the fiber level, you know, the agent that glues all those fibers together, it's flexible. So those fibers stacked on top of each other can kind of bend and move and disform and come back, and you feel it in the ride quality.
So you happen to stumble upon a material that offers a ride quality advantage, but is also more sustainable, more eco-friendly. Tell me about that end of it. Now, Revel has made a big deal about the fact that your wheels are recyclable. Tell me about that. What did you do with the first wheels that came off the line to show that they were recyclable? What did you make with them? How did you dispose of them? What was the process like?
It was pretty cool. So Joe and I were talking about this new material, how much stronger it is, better, lighter, and it's all made in America. And it's actually a robotic manufacturing process. The environmental, we talked about, you know, how the benefit, the, you know, environmental friendliness of, you know, a product that takes like 300 times less energy to create, 300%, sorry. You know, all these things, we're checking all these boxes. And I was just so excited and thought, hey, this is going to be the, you know, the next best thing. And then it was after a few months and Joe and I were talking and Joe kind of said, yeah, you know, we figured out, you know, we can actually recycle this material too. And my jaw dropped. I thought, you know, this is already amazing. Now Joe has figured out how to recycle this material. So I said, we're going all in with that. One of my goals with my businesses has been to try to create a more, you know, more sustainable, products, manufacturing processes. Everything's one step at a time. I mean, at the end of the day, we're still making products, but hey, we all like bikes. So, you know, we're not going to solve the world's problems by this. But I think if we can do small things slightly better than other companies and always have that in the back of our minds of, hey, let's be a little bit more environmentally friendly, a little bit more friendly towards workers and laborers, whether in America or in other countries, that's better. We're selling bikes for fun. Let's make sure we build them in a fun way that is more earth friendly where we can. So when Joe told me about the recyclability, I thought that's just going to be huge for me at least, and hopefully for people who buy the products. So we decided that when we launched the wheels, we talked quite a bit about the environmental properties and the recyclability of them. And just a month or two after we launched, we came out with the first product made out of the recycled scrap material. And it was a tire lever. So we made a single cavity mold, not a very efficient way to make a ton of tire levers, but we wanted to show the practicality. We weren't just, you know, it wasn't snake oil. It could be done. And it was kind of the first product made out of the scrap recycled material. And the tire lever works freaking awesome. It's this big, burly, like, you know, it just works really well. And that was really cool for me because we definitely had a lot of people that were a bit skeptical about this, you know, recyclability aspect of it. And then to say, boom, here's a product that we made out of this.
Now, you also did something else, which I loved when you launched Y-Cycles, which you still make bikes with Y-Cycles or titanium. And one of the things that you launched, I believe, with Y was that if you purchased a Y bike, you could get it shipped to you in a reusable bag rather than the traditional box with the, you know, pipe material and the zip ties, which, by the way, zip ties are evil. Like, they are just the worst thing for the environment. Where did that come from? Did you just say to yourself, boy, I don't want to deal with cardboard and all that stuff? Or was this a conscious decision to not only just add value to the overall package of buying a Y-Cycles bike, but also, I mean, did it factor into the sustainability angle, or was it just something that sort of came along with that?
A little bit of everything. And we actually did that with the Revel bikes too, for about the first 6 months of selling Revel. My goal was, hey, let's not, the amount of cardboard that's wasted in my bike company every day. I mean, we recycle everything. We pay a ton of money. We live in a small town in the mountains. We pay a ton of money to recycle stuff instead of throw it in the landfill. And maybe it helps me sleep better at night. And hopefully it makes a little bit of a good positive impact. But there's so much wasted packaging material. And we're just a bike company. I can only imagine what, you know, car companies and every other big industry does. The bike industry is not environmentally conscious, even though a lot of us buy these bikes to go ride outdoors and ride outside. I mean, I don't even think it's political. We just want to have trails that are pretty to look at with less pollution in the air. I mean, I feel like that's something every single mountain biker can get behind. So I figure we should be doing things that, you know, we want to live it. We want to do things that we actually believe in. So the reusable travel case was certainly that. It was, hey, let's not waste the cardboard box. Let's give people this case that they can have for years. I mean, those Evoque bike cases are great. And they can reuse it to travel with their bike or ship their bike or whatever. And it was pretty interesting. It went over really well for some people, but we actually got a lot of feedback from our customers who kind of said, well, I don't travel with my bike. I don't want to use this. And I thought, whoa, that's, you know, I love traveling with my bike, but you know, everyone's different. But it went over really well. And we actually, then we started a program where you could ship that bag back to us. We gave a shipping label, so it didn't cost the consumer anything. So then it was truly reusable. Multiple customers would get their bike in the same Evoque bag. And if they wanted to keep it, they could. If they didn't want it, they could send it back. So we got to save all the cardboard and plastic and, like I said, zip ties. We can't find recyclable zip ties. We've tried, but they don't exist as far as I know. If anyone listening knows about it, please let us know. So it was actually unfortunate. We stopped doing, for both Y-Cycles and Rebel Bikes, we stopped shipping our bikes in the reusable travel cases purely because of cost. We had ordered, it's the biggest order I ever did. We were a whole container, you know, hundreds and hundreds of these cases. And it was right about the time that some tariffs were implemented with inbound products from Asia. And I was sleeping in a friend's hotel room at a trade show in Taipei to try to, you know, save money and keep costs low. And I got this bill that came in for the, you know, tariffs for these travel cases. And I thought, well, as much as I want to be as environmentally friendly as possible, at a certain point, it does need to make business sense. And that was a hefty blow. So I do hope we can implement that again in the future so we can ship bikes in reusable cases. And we are planning to do that, but we are sadly having to look at the costing and financial side of things for now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a business. And I think people forget that about the bike industry with a lot of, you know, the complaints about bikes going up in price. Yeah. This is an industry like any other. The companies are not in business to, you know, they're in business to make money. That's what businesses do. And so everything that all of these things we're talking about with environmental friendliness and all that has to be balanced with, you know, the viable business model. And so I think that gets a little bit lost in the shuffle. In the minute or so we have left, Adam, I do want to circle back to the wheels real quick. The end of life for a wheel, say I have a wheel here that's a Revel wheel and I know it's recyclable. Can I just toss it in the recycling bin? Can I send it back to you? What is that process like?
Yeah, so no is the answer. You can't toss it in the recycling bin, unfortunately, but we take everything back and we cover all the costs for that. So most of the scrap material that becomes, you know, recyclable material is from manufacturing scrap. So you get a big roll of material, you cut out the shapes that we need, and there's little pieces on the edge that, you know, just normally in any other factory would just get swept into the trash can. We save every single one of those. Even when you drill the spoke holes and the little bits of material that come out of the spoke holes, that all gets swept up and tossed in the recycling bin. So there's zero waste in the manufacturing process. If you do happen to break your rim because you're running 12 PSI and you hit a rock, you drove over it with your car or whatever, we offer a lifetime warranty. You call us up, we'll send you a shipping label. It goes straight back to our factory in Utah where the wheels are made. You get a new wheel built usually within 2 or 3 days and we ship it right back to you. We take that rim, we pull all the vinyl decals off, we run it through a big chipper. It gets chipped up into little 1-inch pieces of composite material. Then it gets heated up, compressed, and then it can turn into all sorts of other products.
Well, so Adam, if we have piqued the interest of our listeners today, and just to be clear, you make mountain bike wheels and gravel wheels, so worth checking out. If their interest has been piqued, where can they find you and Revel on the social medias?
Yeah, Instagram @RevelBikes and @RevelWheels. If you go to RevelBikes.com, everything's on there for the bikes and the wheel side of things. Wheels are sold in all sorts of bike shops all over the country, as well as, you know, Worldwide Cyclery, Fanatic, Competitive Cyclists, a few places like that, or straight from us online. So hopefully you can find them if you take a look on the internet.
Very cool. And all of you out there listening, if you want to ask me any questions about this podcast or any of the other tech podcasts, you can find me @BrownTieDan on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, you can always reach out to Ruler Magazine @RulerMagazine on the various social channels. We would love to hear from you, not only to hear about what you think about this episode or any of the other tech episodes, but also just if you want to reach out and give me suggestions for topics you'd like me to cover on the Ruler Tech podcast, I would absolutely love to hear it. Adam, thanks for joining me today. That was really fascinating. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Dan. Looking forward to going for a bike ride at some point here.
Absolutely. And for those of you listening, thanks again for listening to the Ruler Tech podcast. We will catch you on the next one.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.